A wave lifted the corpse in the river, knocking it against the support pillar again. Through sticky tears, Jay saw that it was a man, all swollen up. His head turned towards her. There was a long purple weal along one cheek. He had no eyes, only empty holes where they should be. His flesh was rippling. Jay blinked. Long white worms with a million legs were feeding on the battered flesh. One oozed out of his half-open mouth like a slender anemic tongue, its tip waving around slowly as though it was tasting the air. She threw her head back and screamed. The rain, which came after the sun, sank from the sky an hour later that evening, was a big help to Quinn Dexter. Between them, Lalonde's three moons conspired to cast a bright spectral phosphorescence on the nighttime city. People could see their way quite clearly down the slushy streets, but with the thick clouds scudding overhead, the light level was drastically reduced. Durringham didn't have street lighting. Individual pubs would floodlight the street outside their entrance, and the bigger cabins had porch lights, but outside their pools of radiance there was only a faint backscatter of photons. In amongst the large industrial buildings of the port, where Quinn lurked, there wasn't even that, only gloom and impenetrable shadows. He had slipped away from the transient's dormitory after the evening meal, finding himself a concealing gap between a couple of single-story outbuildings tacked on to the end of a long warehouse. Jackson Gale was crouched down behind some barrels on the other side of the path. Behind him was a high blank wall of a mill, slatted wooden planks rearing up like a cliff face. There wouldn't be many people wandering around this part of the port at night, and those that did would probably be colonists waiting for a boat upriver. There was another transient dormitory 200 meters to the north. Quinn had decided that colonists would make the best targets. The sheriffs would pay more attention to a city resident being mugged than some new arrival who nobody cared about. Colonists were human cattle to the LDC, and if the dopey bastards hadn't worked that out for themselves, then more fool them. But Jackson had been right about one thing. The colonists were better off than him. Ivets were the lowest of the low. They had discovered that yesterday evening. When they finally arrived at the dormitory, they were immediately detailed to unload the lorries that had just loaded at the spaceport. After they finished stacking Group 7's gear in a harbourside warehouse, a group of them had wandered off into town. They didn't have any money, but that didn't matter. They deserved a break. That was when they found the grey Ivet jumpsuit with its scarlet letters acted like a flashing beacon. Shit on me! They hadn't got more than a few 100 meters out of the port before they turned tail and hurried back to the dormitory. They'd been spat on, shouted at, jeered by children, had stones flung at them, and finally someone had let a Xenoch animal charge at them. That had frightened Quinn the most, though he didn't show it to the others. The creature was like a cat scaled up to dog size. It had jet-black scales and a wedge-shaped head, with a lot of sharp needle teeth in its gaping mouth. The mud didn't slow it down appreciably as it ran at them, and several Ivets had skidded onto their knees as the group panicked and ran away. Worst of all were the sounds the thing made, like a drawn-out whine. But there were words in the cry, strangely twisted by the Xenoch gullet, human words, "City scum" and "kid fuckers," and others that were distorted beyond recognition, yet all carrying the same message. The thing hated them, echoing its master who had laughed as its huge jaws snapped at their running legs. Back in the dormitory, Quinn had sat down and started to think for the first time since the police stunned him back on Earth. He had to get off this planet which even God's brother would reject. To do that, he needed information. He needed to know how the local setup worked, how to get himself an edge. All the other Ivets would dream about leaving. Some must have made attempts to escape in the past. The biggest mistake he could make would be rushing it. And, dressed in his signpost jumpsuit, he wouldn't even be able to scout around. He had caught Jackson Gale's eye and flicked his head at the velvet walls of night encircling the dormitory. The two of them slipped out unnoticed and didn't return till dawn. Now he waited, crouched against the warehouse wall, stripped down to his shorts, nerves burning with excitement at the prospect of repeating last night's spree. Rain was drumming on the rooftops and splashing into the puddles and mud of the path, kicking up a loud din. More water was gurgling down the drainage gully at the side of the warehouse. His skin and hair were soaked. At least the drops were warm. The man in the canary-yellow cagoule was almost level with the little gap between the outhouses before Quinn heard him. He was squelching through the mud, muttering and humming under his breath.